is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward, and we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
In sports, good offense starts with good defense. The professionals at Lakeside Roofing believe in this same motto for your roof. Our full-time service department provides the defense to ensure you get the most out of your roof system. A regular scheduled roof assessment and maintenance is the defensive strategy to extend the life of your roof. Call the winning team at Lakeside Roofing today at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253 or visit us on the web at lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
Making changes in the new year doesn't always have to be a hassle. Sometimes it can be downright comfortable. Make comfort your resolution this year with new bedding, loungewear, towels, and more with Brooklinen. Brooklinen was the first direct customer bedding company, meaning they work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers. No middleman. Just a great product and service. My favorite part, all luxury products without the luxury markup, like softness, like comfort. Essentials to help you relax. Brooklinen has it all. Brooklinen.com is the perfect place to hit refresh in the new year. Go on, make yourself comfortable. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, loungewear, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping on all the new sheets when you use promo code TMA. Only at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Brooklinen. Everything you need to live your most comfortable life.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet.
I remember the day I recorded this song. It's like it was yesterday. I was in the studio. Oh, wait a minute. This is Willie Nelson. I always get confused. I think it's me.
Life can be so sweet.
On what side of the street?
On sunny side of the street.
Oh, okay.
I used to walk in the shade with those blues.
When he says those blues, I'm afraid he's talking about the St. Louis Blues.
I'm not afraid. This rover.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Yeah.
If I ever have
a snowy night.
Aw, oh, man.
What?
Yeah.
We didn't make it.
About time.
We didn't make it Snowmageddon 2020.
Oh. Why, well, it's not quite. I mean, they haven't made it out to be.
It's not really a Snowmageddon.
No.
Well, yeah. as any TV station yet, and here's how you know it's serious, have they gone into storm mode?
Well, yeah, they're always in storm mode. Anytime something happens, there's a storm mode.
That's true.
Storm mode.
But I think we should go out with our
measuring stick,
with our Roadrunner whatever car, our First Community Credit Union Roadrunner car on the road.
Yeah, have a dash cam in there showing our wipers going.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Exactly.
Let me welcome everybody to the show. It's called The Large Morning Show in the Afternoon, and you can hear it about this time every day, Monday through Thursday. Today is the 23rd of January, and yesterday I'm listening to some oldies music, some 60s music, and I thought, man, I hope they play that one song, because in that song they talk about the fact that today, the 23rd of January, is another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Was it 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day?
Yeah, that's the song, right? Oh, but it's 3rd of June.
There was a 3.
Missed it by that
much. There's
a 3
in there, though.
Yeah. I had the 3, part right, and the J in the month right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. And I have to say, I think it was yesterday, I read an email from a guy named Paul who went to Ballast Dental Care, and Dr. Olivier at Ballast Dental Care discovered something that concerned her, and he found out that he had throat cancer, and now he is cancer-free, but had it not been for Ballastelli. Remember that letter? Great, powerful email. And in it, in the beginning, he made reference to somebody that I know. I don't know if Limey knew Jim McMillan. Did you know him?
I did not
Limey?
Know.
Too bad, because he was just such a great guy. And I know, I don't think, obviously Tim didn't know him, but he made, made reference to the fact that Jim McMillan passed away. Dan, was it last year? It was just last year, I think.
I think it was just last year.
That's what happens to me. Was it 18 or was it 2019?
Wow.
Isn't that weird how you can't differentiate like 6 months ago or 18 months ago, but it wasn't long ago. And so he made reference to Jim, how he remembered hearing me talk to Jim on the air about Jim's throat cancer. And I can't get that out of my head. I can't get, for some reason, Jim McMillan just keeps popping into my head. And
he was the nicest guy too. And he owned Rolling Ridge Nursery in, Webster Groves.
And he co-hosted a show called The Inside Out Show. And sometimes you just meet people and you can hear it in the voice that they're just nice. They're just nice. And you wonder, why does somebody like that get struck down with throat cancer? And so it just makes me want to retell one of my favorite stories because I don't do many impressions. Dan does several, but... And then, interestingly, one of the best impressions I did was somebody who's not famous. It's Jim McMillan. The audience knew him, but outside of, you know, our radio audience, you know, nobody would know it was a good impression, but it was good. And even Jim said that it was absolutely dead on. And so one day when I knew he had been sick, diagnosed, and he'd missed some shows, and I called him and I said, Jim, look, you know, I do an absolute perfect impression of you. He said, Frank, that is so true. You do me better than I do me. He said, I can't even tell the difference. And I said, and by the way, he talked like that not because of the throat cancer. He talked that way as long as I've ever known him.
All the time.
He had kind of a raspy voice, a little southern accent too, a little southern Missouri or something. He chuckled when he talked about fertile loam and what a great, you know, fertilizer was. So I said, Jim, I know you're not well, and if you have to take off, I could fill in for you. Nobody'd know the difference. And here's what he says, but I don't know anything about shrubbery or plants or landscaping or any of that stuff. And he said, well, Frank, he says, you don't have, here's all you need to know. If somebody calls in and they say, my plants won't do this or my yard won't do that and why can't this grow or that? He said, all you need to say most of the time is just give it more water. He said, there's the answer to most of the questions. Just give it more water. I'll never forget when he said that. And he was just such a great guy. And, you know, we'll live our whole lives never knowing why bad people seem to skate sometimes through life and good people get taken away or have bad things happen. So we'll never get the answer to that. But, Jim, if you're listening, rest in peace, friend. I'm sure you are, and I'm sure that the greenery around the gates of heaven have never looked better. I'm sure the trees are, you know, the best they've ever been, and the flowers are growing and flourishing, and you know, God's garden has got the greatest fruits and vegetables it's ever had, and that's because you're up there now. So, rest in peace, buddy. So I just got that out of my system now. So that email just, I don't know, made me start thinking about it. All right, here's what's on tap today. Burke's segment, your calls, and then, of course, the highlight of every Thursday, and maybe for a lot of people the week, is the 4 o'clock hour. Scott Sherman, I understand, did I see him? He's already here, right?
He's here, but he's just walked out of the studio. He's in search of some food. He said he's really hungry.
Well, he has plenty of time to eat because he doesn't come on until 4. So 4 o'clock hour, this is Scott Sherman. If you have a legal question, and apparently over the last 4 years, lots of you have, and we've learned a lot and helped a lot of people, I am now going to give you numbers. Now, smart people will make a note of these numbers, capture them, put them in their phones, whatever, for future use. The rest of you will, I guess, just hope you can get in the 4 o'clock hour. 855-282-8255. 8255 314-821-0590. You want to like a bonus joke before we do the Burke show?
Love one.
Heck yeah.
Love a bonus
there's a listener named Janet. And Janet, I think almost every day, emails me. And it's usually a joke or a funny picture or whatever. So she sent this, and I have seen this before. It's like I've seen it actually a few years ago. It pops up about this year about, well, certainly Super Bowl time. So here it is. It's a classified ad. It could be posted online, could be in the paper, but here it is. It starts, if anyone is interested, a friend of mine has two tickets to the 2020 Super Bowl, both box seats. He paid $11,500 each for them. It comes with a ride to and from the airport, lunch, dinner, and a $400 bar tab. Also, backstage pass to the winner's locker room. He didn't realize last year when he bought them that it was going to be the same day as his wedding. If you are interested, he's looking for someone to take his place. The bride's name is Ashley. The wedding is at St. Paul's Church. She's about 5'4", 120 pounds. She's a good cook, loves to fish and hunt. She'll be the one in the white dress. I think that is very clever. Thank you, Janet. That's good. Good to read again. Some things just never get old, including, I hope, the joke I'm going to tell today, because I got a request to tell it, and I've told this joke for like 30 years.
Weren't you supposed to say the big game, not...
No, because it wasn't a it wasn't a commercial. It was a joke.
I know.
You only have to say that if you're selling a product and you're using the Super Bowl in the sale of your product or service.
They are saying the big game on everything now. I mean, just saying, like on the news. They're saying,
well, but here's the problem.
Here's the big game.
They're under the false. They're under the false impression that you can't ever say it.
Yeah.
They don't know. They don't. They're stupid because
I know
it strictly applies to commercial endorsement.
Yeah. You know? I believe the technical term, because I actually studied about this in my business law class. Apparently we can say Super Bowl now as much as we want because we're commentating on it. But as Frank says, when you go to sell it, that's when it's a bit much. So yeah, if they want to talk about it on the news like we're doing right now, they can say Super Bowl, but they're probably just too nervous because they think
but
they're
going to
get it.
I've noticed what Dan's talking about though.
Mm.
They still say big game, and when they do it, I go, "Well, you stupid moron, you can say."
Yeah.
And a couple that was preparing to go to the Super Bowl, well, it's a news story.
Yeah.
And they'll say, "Well, a couple in preparation to travel to the big game."
I know.
I'm thinking, "Well, you don't have to do that."
I know.
You're not selling televisions or packages, hotel packages, or quite frankly, all of it's stupid because saying Super Bowl in a commercial just promotes the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it. I don't know.
That's the NFL.
I don't get a lot of things. I don't get that years ago they decided that in the daycare centers, the daycare what do you call the people that work there, the people that take care of the kids? The daycare workers could no longer show the kids Disney movies.
What?
During daycare time. Oh, no.
Why? Really?
Because it's the same law that applies to playing music in a store.
Oh.
It's licensed, and you can't use it in
a
commercial. So they had to stop showing the kids, the little kids' Disney video.
Oh, my God.
Because they didn't pay for the rights to show them in a commercial venue.
That's so stupid.
It's insane.
That's so stupid.
Like they're somehow going to be profiting from playing Disney videos.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stupid things. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Well, he said it very softly, almost like he's
timid.
Almost timid, yeah, almost like he's maybe embarrassed to say whatever.
No.
Well, let's find out what it is. Tim Woodburn, everybody, welcome.
Thanks, Frank. To answer your question, as your director of research, Jim McMillan died in December of 2018.
Wow.
He was 79 years old, and for 57 of those 79 years, he was married to his wife, Sue.
Yeah, Sue.
She was fantastic.
57 years.
She's terrific.
Yep.
Yeah. So it was 18.
Yep.
But I was close, because it was close to 19.
Right.
What was the date?
December 4th, he died of esophageal cancer. He fought it for about 3 years.
Yep. Esophageal cancer.
I stand corrected.
Just for the record. Yeah, okay, wow. My goodness, that's a year and 14 months, I guess. Yeah. Something like that already.
A little over 14 months.
What else did you have?
One other thing. As you know, I talk about this from time to time, and Dan and I, of course, talk hockey constantly off the air in the studio. You know, I was a hockey announcer for 10 years in my 20s.
What? Yep. Oh, yeah. You were?
I was.
You never mentioned it.
I know. You guys can be all smart hoodies, but I probably have mentioned it in at least 6 months.
You ever been to Kentucky?
No, I haven't. Haven't never been there. Hope to go there one day. Tonight on Fox Sports Midwest is a real treat, and I'm sure Dan will keep a keen eye on this, but this is the third time that the city of St. Louis has hosted the National Hockey League All-Star Game, and Fox Sports Midwest is doing something really cool tonight. They are replaying in their entirety the previous two All-Star Games that have played in St. Louis, the first of which was in 1970, and the legendary voice of the Blues, who I grew up listening to and who inspired me to want to become a hockey announcer in the first place. Dan Kelly called that game, and St. Louisans who tune in tonight are going to get a chance to hear him call the 1970 All-Star Game in St. Louis. They're going to air that game at 7 o'clock. The Blues had 7 players on that team. You don't get a chance to watch many games front to back from yesteryear. Nobody has any reason to show them. But some of the Blues on that team included Jacques Plante, Barkley Plager, Red Berenson, and Jim Roberts, and guys like Bobby Orr, Phil and Tony Esposito, and Bobby Hull all played in that game. And
I think there'll be a huge audience.
It's going to be cool. And then the 1988 game, they're going to air at 5 o'clock. They're actually going to air that one first. And in that game, which was played in St. Louis, it's almost spooky to watch it because I was watching some highlights of it, and that was just before NHL teams started selling signage on the boards and on the ice. And
it looks empty.
It does. And you're going to see, like in the 1988 game, Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Patrick Waugh, Mark Messier. The only Blues player in the game was Rob Ramage. Al McGinnis, though, played in the game. He was still with Calgary at the time. And it's just so weird to watch a game without the in-ice logos and without the dasherboard signings. Because when I first started working in minor league hockey in 1992, that was the thing they told me. Hey, we don't care how good of an announcer you are, kid. You need to sell. And you need to go out and sell the signage on these boards and on the ice and program ads and everything. And it was a whole different game. But it was one of the last years that hockey had before they sold signage on a game, and it's almost spooky to watch it. Whereas today, for example, Frank, the Blues, either their last road game at Colorado or the game before that, the television broadcast actually superimposes advertisers on the plexiglass behind the goalies. So the fans in the arena, don't see it, but the people on TV do see this ad on the plexiglass behind it, and guess who the sponsor was for the Blues' last road game on the plexiglass?
I don't know.
Window World.
Oh, nice.
Of course it was.
Window World. And it's going to be really cool for me to just kick back tonight and sit on the couch and watch these two games and these players that I grew up just idolizing and dreaming about becoming a part of the game, and to watch them actually play in their prime. It's going to be a really fun night of TV for me personally to watch these two games and to hear Dan Kelly.
I think most every hardcore hockey fan will watch that.
Oh, yeah.
I would think
so. The 1971, I was 12 years old.
By the way, 1971, there's barely color TV. In fact, not in many, a lot of houses still didn't have color TV in 1970. Mm-hmm. We didn't have color television until, I think it was 72. So I'm sure it's in color, but barely. Think about that. Yeah. That's how long ago that was. Hey, real quick, speaking of Window World and the Blues, check this out. This is beyond just interesting. At the beginning of last year's season, before the first game, was the first year Window World decided to partner with the Blues, the preferred window, and then look what happened. They went to the Stanley Cup Championship. Get this. Jim Lomax and John Gillette, the guys that own Window World here, also own Window World in Kansas City. Before the beginning of the football season, they partnered with the Kansas City Chiefs for the first time, and look where they're headed, to the Super Bowl. There's something here.
Hmm.
I mean, think about that. That's the first season to partner with the Chiefs, And they go to the Super Bowl for the first time in, what, 50 years or something?
Yes.
And look, and the same exact thing happened with the Blues when they partnered with the Blues. And then in terms of just the technicality, when you're talking about saying big game or Super Bowl, in Kansas City, you have to say that Window World is the official window of the Kansas City Chiefs. In St. Louis, you have to say the preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. It's a legal technicality. It's weird, but you have to keep them straight. But the point is, I think anything we're going to do from here on out, we need to get Window World to sponsor it, because we'll just take it right to the top. That seems to be the case. They have the magic touch. At least now, recently they do, in sports anyway. Somebody must have some pretty good intuition when it comes to what teams are going to do well at Window World. I believe we have a guest on the phone. Maestro, could you fire up the...
Same. I didn't have that ready because I didn't know we were talking to him.
And tell everybody your name.
My name is Limey Phillips.
And let's call out who it was that didn't tell you that you had him on the phone or would have him on the phone. Who would that be?
Scott Sherman.
Yep, that's right. Scott Sherman.
Yeah. He left. He walked away. But yeah, I put it on.
Now we know why he walked away. He walked the walk of shame. He forgot to do his job.
Here we go.
I actually put it on your screen first before he put it on Limey's screen.
You ready?
Well, here we go. I'm ready.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call.
I bet you this guy will be glued to that telecast of those old All-Star games. He's a big hockey fan. He's a hockey coach. He plays hockey. Yeah. That's right. I've seen him. He doesn't know that I've seen him, but I actually saw him one time on the ice. Ladies and gentlemen, your Chevy dealer and your next pre-owned car dealer, Johnny Landau. Hello, John. How are you?
George!
Johnny fired up.
There you go. There you go. Hey, how are you, Frank?
Terrific. It's Thursday.
Oh, it's your last day of the week. I mean, most
That's
of us
right.
have to work another day or two or three, but hey, you...
Well, I'm sorry about
shots.
That. I used to work...
You get the time off. You get the time
I used over. To work 7 days a week a long time ago, and I don't have to do that anymore, so...
There used to be an automotive trainer, sales trainer. He said his tagline was, used to bees, don't make no more honey.
I disagree.
Used to bees, don't make no more. So what I used to do...
No, I disagree. I think what you used to do is it's extremely important. It establishes work ethic.
Not for now. It doesn't make it. Who cares? It's great. You know,
it's the reason that I'm able to have a now is that I worked that hard early on. Is the only reason that I'm able now to do what I'm doing.
Well, luckily there's people out there that are still working 6 and 7 days, so that then we can
so one day they can need. Do what I do. Yeah.
We can go get our groceries because they're filling up the shelves because all these fake snowstorm warnings, people are just going crazy buying food, and they're going crazy buying cars.
Good.
Another good day today. We sold like 15 vehicles yesterday.
That's
unbelievable. That's a good day, but thank you very much because it'll, you have a lot to do with it.
No, I don't. The listeners have a lot to do with it.
Well, of course.
They have everything to do with it.
They listen to you because they love you.
Here we go.
You know?
Take the credit, Frank.
Here we go.
Yeah.
I'll take the credit, John.
Give the credit to Dan.
There you go. There you go, Danny.
Thanks, John.
There you go. There you go. Well, I got to spend the afternoon with my brother-in-law, Jimmy Ruck, and we were down at the Blues Alumni, the Hall of Fame luncheon. There were 9 Hall of Famers, okay? Make sure I get them all, of course. Chris Pronger, multiple vehicles he's bought from Johnny Landau Chevrolet. Al McGinnis, got to coach his sons, Carson and Ryan. Ryan playing professional hockey now for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Bernie Federko bought several cars from us, you know, and Wayne Gretzky. You ever heard of him, Frank?
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, Wayne Gretzky was there, and Brett Hull. Are you kidding me? What a great guy.
He hey, how so hard funny. How hard is it to coach the son of a professional athlete? That can't be easy.
Well, you know, Frank, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked me that. First of all, he kid has so much, they have so much God-given talent. It's pretty easy, okay? And you know, when I was lucky enough to get to coach the Whitfield High School hockey team for about 7 years as the head coach, and then I brought a guy on by the name of Jim Campbell, nicknamed Soupy because his last name Campbell. I was actually the head coach, and I had an ex NHL hockey player as my assistant. Kind of funny, okay? Then I made him, I was lucky enough to have him be our head coach and won a couple of championships. Look, just great kids. You know, hey, great parents create great kids, and then the game of hockey is all sports. I mean, you get your kids in sports, girls and boys, and it's unbelievable. It just builds so much character. And, you know, I try to hire a lot of ex-athletes and a lot of ex-police officers and military. They get it. You know, they always have worked hard. You know, they had to work 7 days a week.
I just think it'd be weird if you're trying to teach Lou Brock's kid how to steal a base. And then he says, "That's not how my daddy said you should do it." You know, that's,
Lou Brock Jr. was an unbelievable football player. I think he played college ball for USC. He was just a great athlete. I mean, great ball player, but he loved football. He was a heck of a football player, and he's
I believe in genetics. Look at the Manning family. In fact, they just announced Eli, 39, is now retiring from the NFL. Look at that. I'd like to see the bank account of that whole family. Archie, Peyton, Eli. Woo! They've made a few bucks.
Yeah. Well, just think, I mean, as a father, the pride you have to say, oh, you know, Archie Manning, yeah, he was really good. But man, come on, Peyton Manning. Yeah. You know, I mean, Eli. Peyton's great, 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 great guy, and it's all good. You know, it's just like John Londuff III and Sam Londuff. They have it in the blood. It's in the blood. Yeah, they have their mom's work ethic. That's why they're so talented. You know, Mimi Londuff whips them into shape, but. You know, again, it's just a great, great, great event this weekend for the All-Star Game, the NHL. I mean, to win the Stanley Cup and Window World, Jim Lomax, John Gillette, Ken Webb, they're all great friends. Ken Webb's a relative. He's married Mimi's niece, Kate Kennedy
John,
Webb.
Were you listening early when I talked about the Chiefs? Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't. Check
this out. Window World, as most people know, partnered with the Blues before the beginning of the season, and look what happened. They win the Stanley Cup. Before the beginning of this football season, for the very first time ever, they partnered with the Kansas City Chiefs, and look what happened. They're in the Super Bowl. This Window World knows something intuitively about sports teams. It's unbelievable to me that happened twice.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got some great intel, as they say, right?
Yeah,
Intel. They know what's going on.
Must have.
That's a good team. I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I love that quarterback. That kid, Patrick Mahomes. Wow, man, is he fun to watch? The whole team, you know. And their coach is just, you know, kidding me. That guy's to be great for you know, the west side of our great state, the Kansas City side, and a lot of good friends of mine are big fans. But yep, we'll be watching that game, rooting for the Chiefs a week from Sunday. Good stuff. But you know what we're rooting for? We're rooting for the great AM of the PM crowd, because I am AM of the PM.
Yeah, we know.
Hallelujah. Almost got you, didn't I, Trevor?
Almost. I wasn't expecting that.
That's okay. You didn't have my song dialed up, but that's all right, you know. We should play the Johnny Londoff jingle.
No, I have a better idea. We should hear the harmonica version of it. because you seldom get to hear that. You know.
I don't have my harmonica with me.
No, John, you won't need it, because Dan Strauss has and always has his. And
yep.
If Dan, if you don't mind, here's what I'd like, a two-part exhibition. Okay. I'd like for you to play the Johnny Londoff Jingle by the overhead way, okay. And then follow it by singing it. Can you do that?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, it's all yours. The stage is yours.
Yeah.
Do
Johnny Londo Chevrolet, by the low overhead way.
Wow.
Johnny Londo Chevrolet.
Oh, that's it. That's enough. Thank you. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean, I hope you captured that and recorded it, because that,
no, you better believe
he
I did.
To, he may be able to sell that.
So here it is in the duck call version. One of these days, well, I'll get Trevor to sing it with his British accent, you know?
Oh, man.
What do you mean, one of these days? Let's just do it now.
Nobody wants to hear that. What's
that? No, we do. Yeah, I think everybody wants to hear it. Now, here, you're kind of new to this, so the lyrics are... Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, by the low overhead way. Go ahead.
Okay, Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, by the low overhead way. Dan, can you give me a note, please, so I can harmonize correctly? Thank you. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, something, something,
by
something.
By the low overhead way.
Oh, my, hold on. Something. No,
by the low overhead way.
No, let's do it again.
Overhead way.
Let's do it again. Okay. I want you to edit that out because it doesn't sound good for John Londoff.
Okay. I apologize.
And then you go, by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, by the low overhead way. And then you go, Johnny Londoff Chevrolet.
Dan, don't make it more complicated for me. Just edit out that other thing.
I got you.
Radio edit.
All right, Dan, can you give me a note, please? Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, by the low overhead way.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Oh, he was ready to jump in and go, Johnny Londoff Chevrolet.
Now, I wanted to stop while we're ahead.
Yeah, we
go, John.
Stop while we're ahead.
Yeah. If we ever were ahead.
Oh, my God. Always ahead. You're out in front of the game. You're out in front of the curve. You're the master. So, you know, we're going to be open until 6:30 tonight. I mean, it's still warm. I don't think we're going to have much of an accumulation on the roads, a little bit on the cars. But, you know, we've already sold and delivered a bunch of vehicles today, and I cannot thank the AM and the PM listeners for all the thousands of vehicles that they've bought from us here in, 15 years now, Mr. Pinion?
Yep, that's all right.
Just seems like yesterday, buddy.
It sure does.
314-837-1800. 314-837-1800. 24/7, 365 at Londoff.com.
All right. They're on the way.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Drive safe out there. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. I don't want to say anything because he's a paying advertiser, but he snorted.
Yeah, he did.
He did, but we can't say anything, can we?
No. You just let it go. You just let it slide.
Right.
Anybody else for the Burke segment?
No, I don't.
No, don't have anything. Wow. All right.
Let's close it. Burke segment should be closed. Got a couple of things that we'll go over in the Playhouse today. But before that, again, a reminder, in the 4 o'clock hour, Scott Sherman will be with us. I didn't know that people eat iguana meat. Did you know?
Really?
No.
I didn't know they did that either. I figured they made belts and stuff.
Check this out. In Florida... Iguanas are cold-blooded animals like snakes. So what's always been interesting to me is cold-blooded, you'd think they like the cold. No, they don't. They like heat. Yet, they won't come out in, like snakes, in the sun at noon in the worst of the heat because it's too hot. They'll come out early in the morning, get on a warm rock. Iguanas are kind of the same way. But get this, down in Miami, and there are iguanas in Florida, they had a cold snap like they haven't had in several years in Miami, where it dropped to 40 degrees. And of course, that was obviously overnight, early in the morning. These iguanas that stay for the most part up in trees, what happens when they get cold, and it's kind of like snakes, is they sort of go into like a hibernation mode where it looks like they're dead,
right?
But they're not dead. They're stunned by the cold. These iguanas are falling out of trees in Florida. And they're just falling out of the trees onto the ground, and people are scooping them up and taking them and then cutting the meat out of them and taking the hides and, you know, making iguana hides. I guess some of them either thinking they're dead or knowing they're not, but just taking advantage of the fact that they're immobilized because they're so cold.
Would you ever...
What?
Would you ever eat iguana meat? Because, I mean...
I think I would, yeah. If it were, you know, smelled good and took a bite and it was tasty, sure. I don't know why that would be any different than eating anything else.
Right.
Yeah, I would. And we had an iguana at my house. We had a 4 foot long iguana. It's a monster iguana. Whoa. Oh, yeah. My boys, when they were young, pooled all of the money they'd saved, and they had $200 between them. And they went to a pet shop. I forgot which pet shop in St. Louis, and there was an iguana, and it was already head to tail over 4 feet long. And this thing looked like a dinosaur. So you could put it on your shoulder, and you know they're ugly. They're really ugly.
They are ugly.
And they look like they would just rip your face off. They've got a scary-looking sort of teeth. But it was the most gentle. I mean, you could pet it and sit on your shoulder. It never even attempted to bite anybody.
And what did you guys feed it?
You feed it ground up fresh vegetables like cantaloupe and pineapple, and what they really like is vegetables, yeah.
Huh.
So they took it outside in the summer to clean its cage, and while they're cleaning the cage, actually was a glass, a big, like you keep a big snake in.
Yeah, it's called a terrarium.
ABC News.
No, a terrarium is what aquarium. You put plants inside of it. An aquarium is for water.
Yeah.
It's neither.
ABC News says that iguanas have very lean meat and actually contains more protein than chicken, and people in Florida are calling them tree chickens.
Tree chickens? I like that.
Mm. Yeah, well, they're actually calling chicken of the trees like chicken of the seas. The name in the article is chicken of the trees.
Right.
Wow.
So, yeah, now, of course I would eat iguana, but this thing, they made a temporary sort of like wire cage. They took some chicken wire and put it in a circle, and they put the iguana in there while they were cleaning his glass case. And then when they weren't looking, there was a little opening, and he got out. And iguanas move pretty fast, and we live in the woods, and it's summer, it was green. That thing was gone within seconds. They had no idea where it was. And I still remember them crying and yelling out, Ziggy, Ziggy, like it was going to hear them and come back. But they were so upset because they'd lost $200. The thing is gone. And big lesson learned, if you're going to take an animal out and clean its cage or something, make sure it can't get away and it's secure in something else. Man, were they upset. They walked together through not only our property, but the adjoining property, just walking along and crying and yelling out, Ziggy, Ziggy, come back, Ziggy. Nah, no Ziggy. I think I know what happened to Ziggy. I don't think Ziggy made it. 24
hours. He could have lasted for the rest of the day until it got maybe a little cool at night, and then...
Well, but it was summer. It was at night. No. It was summer in St. Louis. It doesn't get that cool. It might get down to 80 or 85. It wasn't that. He didn't last because something in the woods ate Ziggy. Ziggy, you know, was in unfamiliar territory. So he's kind of probably wandering around going, I'm free, but now what? Where do I go? What do I eat? And then while he's wondering that, coyote probably ate him. Or something else.
We have a couple of iguana calls.
Iguana.
Well, you see, we have all kinds of people listening, including iguana experts. So
yes.
I say we talk to them. You want to start with Steve Limey? Is that
his
first? Yeah,
Steve. Here we go.
Steve, welcome to Iguana Talk on 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm fine. I am in the BF.
Thank you.
About 15 years ago, our family went to Aruba. And, you know, I freaked out on the size of the iguana.
They're huge.
They're tremendously huge. And we were, you know, the buffets and all that stuff. Well, we got to talking to some of the people that worked there in the kitchen. So apparently we were told that it was illegal for us as tourists to kill one and eat it. But
true.
Every day, like clockwork, when they put the food out, that this huge iguana would come up to by the bar there, by the back door where they would go in, the cooks and all that, and they were feeding this thing, and we asked if it was a pet, and they said, no, we're fattening it up so we can eat it.
So
they were feeding this thing so that they could kill it and eat it.
Don't you feel bad, though, for the iguana? Because the iguana's thinking, man, these people are really nice. You know, I go up here and they feed me. Little did he know, one day it's going to be the last meal. Yeah. And then you're going to be the meal. No, that's true. That's right. They don't even like tourists trying to like catch them or touch them or whatever. But Steve, when you look at them, don't they look frightening?
They do. They look prehistoric. I mean, they look like a dinosaur, and they are scary to me, especially when you see one that's 4 foot long. And you know, they can sit there docile and not move. But I'll tell you what. When you see one moving, they can get up and get out pretty quick.
Oh, no. They're fast. And they're a lot like crocodiles, because a crocodile will lie there and you think it's dead. It just does not move. And you go, well, they must be dead. Till you get over closer to it and you see a little movement, you go, okay, it's not dead. I'm not getting near that. I've never been to Aruba. One of these days I'd love to go there because I hear it is beautiful.
You know what? A couple of facts about that place is it's so close to the equator, it's out of the storm belt, so you know, you don't have to worry about storms, and it's 80 degrees there like year round. They say that if it wasn't for the 30 mile an hour trade winds, that people would be able to live there because it would be too hot because it's so close to the equator.
Wow.
We took a tour to this snorkel beach called Baby Beach, and you can actually see Venezuela on a clear day. You can see the tip of Venezuela from Baby Beach there. If you can ever go, it's a little more costly going there, and it's a pretty long flight, but if you can go, they got all inclusives, and it's just a beautiful place to visit.
I'd love to go. When you mentioned the winds, though, is that a constant 30-mile-an-hour wind? Is it always windy?
Yeah, they say it's 30-mile-an-hour. It's constant, yes, sir. But they say that if that, you know, it would be too hot there otherwise, from what I was told. So, but it's windy there all the time, but I don't think we didn't have any bad weather. And I mean, you don't have to worry about when you go, because you're not going to have to worry about any hurricanes or anything like that. So it's pretty cool.
Well, unless you hate wind. If you hate wind, don't go there.
Yeah, you don't want to get your hair messed up, so.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I get it. That's a good one. That's a good one. Thank you. No, it's okay. No, it's okay. I've had a lifetime of ball jokes. I can take it. I can take it. Thank you, Steve. Good for you. Chicks dig it. Yeah. And Steve, I'm sure, knows that women love bald headed men. They do. It's just a fact. I'm just telling you. Let's go to Brian. Brian, welcome to 590.
Brian dropped off.
Brian dropped off, so we're not going to go to Brian.
Nope.
He's back.
Brian is back.
Okay, Brian is back. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. What's going on?
Yeah, nothing. It's snowing, you know.
But yeah, we know. We just had that. Tim just had that in the weather forecast.
Yeah. It's getting so. Many years ago, we went to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Have you guys ever been down on the Pacific side?
Yes, we have.
Yeah,
you haven't. Dan and I have.
Oh, we paid for a hot air balloon tour, which is pretty cool. I'd never been in a hot air balloon, but the pilot was American, and he was a good guy, but he was adventurous. And this is no joke. He would actually, from above, like we were above trees, and he started to laugh, and he's like, watch this. And so he lowered the hot air balloon, and he would grab an iguana out of the damn treetop.
Whoa!
And sound asleep. I'm not kidding you. He would grab it with both his hands, and then he'd drop it off into a tree like a half mile further away.
Wow.
And the thing was like slithering and, you know, can you imagine being asleep and having some guy grab you?
All of a sudden just dumping you half a mile.
No, I can imagine being asleep and having some girl grab me, but not some guy grab me.
Yeah.
Ew.
Well, we took pictures of him doing it, and I asked him if it was legal, and he's like, oh, no, it's not legal. But, I mean, that was like in the 90s, and this guy, he was pretty adventurous, and looking back, it probably wasn't the safest tour.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what you want, a hot air balloon pilot who breaks the law.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Well, he carried a gun with him, but the bottom line is, it was through Apple Vacations, but nonetheless, he was actually grabbing an iguana out of a treetop.
That's ridiculous.
Did you like the hot air balloon feeling?
I liked it, but I'm telling you, you go from 0 to 3,000 feet, in a matter of like a minute. And you're looking at, you look down at your feet and there's like a little, like, balsa wood, you know, like it's like a wood panel.
No, no, I've done it. Yeah, it may have seemed to you like a minute in 3,000 feet. You can't go ascend quite that quickly. It's
no,
not
I
that,
know, I know. It's so quick, though, before you know it, you know?
It's quiet, but, and I've flown everything, okay? I'm a pilot. I'm a helicopter pilot. I've done sailplanes, powered parachutes. I didn't like it in that I don't know that I wouldn't do it again, but what bothered me about it is you're at the mercy of the wind. And if you are about to hit something, you can't just, you know, like a plane, raise the nose and go, you gotta and hope that you do it in time for it to have time to slowly lift over the obstacle or the building or tree or whatever it is. And then landing is something, because you seldom see a hot air balloon land where the basket just gently sets down. It doesn't work that way. No, it drags along the ground. It knocks people, it spills over and people fall out, and it's different. Yeah, I'm glad I did it, but I could live without doing it again, probably.
Yeah, we never did it again, and we had to get there at like 5:30 in the morning. And we were flying over tobacco fields, and he was yelling at farmers. And the guy was dropping bottles of champagne to the farmers in their field, and he told us, "I do that so I can land in their fields if we have an emergency." You know,
smart.
So I mean,
good
the guy
him.
Was pretty fun.
Yeah. How many people in the balloon? Do you remember?
It was four people and him. So two couples and then the pilot.
All right. Imagine the size of this balloon basket. My wife was a travel agent. She was a travel agent for 16 years. She went on a safari in Africa with another travel agent from her office. That was a photography safari. It didn't kill anything. They went up in an 8-person balloon basket. This balloon was massive, and there were 8 of them in the balloon. And 2 of the people in the balloon with her were Charlton Heston and John Voight. She happened to be there while they're shooting some movie in Africa. And so they just, and she said when the unknown balloon, as they're lifting off, the pilot says, "Well, let's all introduce ourselves to each other." And she didn't even notice who they were until they went around the balloon and said, "I'm so and so from St. Louis." And I'm really, he goes, "I'm Charlton Heston. I'm an actor. And I'm John Voight. And I'm an actor." And she thought, whoa. And she looks up, and sure enough, it's, you know, Charlton Heston, the late Charlton Heston. He's not around now, but, and she said that, in that case, one of the most spectacular things you can do, because the balloon flies low over these herds of zebras and lions and all these stuff out on the plains of Africa. She said it was incredible to be above them in a balloon like that. I'm sure it is, unless something goes wrong and the balloon drops and lions eat you. Then, right. Not so good. Not so good. All right, Brian. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks a lot. I'll talk to you.
Thank you. We have just enough time for Steve number 2. Steve, you got about 1 minute. It's all yours. How are you?
Great. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to say that I remember watching the 1970 hockey playoff game with my brother on a 19-inch black and white TV.
Yeah, there you go.
My father thought it'd be a great idea about 2 months before this to buy this sheet of plastic that they advertised, that you would tape it to the front of your black and white TV, and yep, it would make it look like it was in color.
Over the screen.
You remember that?
Yes. You put it over the screen, like an acetate, like an overlay.
Wow.
Yeah, it was blue at the top, and it kind of went down to gray, and then brown, and then green at the bottom. Well, we're watching this, and we're thinking it's great. However,
and there's always the however in life.
Woo. Oh, damn. Anyway, we were so excited about something that happened on the game. We jumped up, and when we jumped up, we accidentally knocked that cover off the front. And the picture was so much clearer. We loved it. It was beautiful black and white.
Yeah, that was a gimmick and a joke, and I do remember them, and they didn't last long because nobody liked them. Hey, we're out of time, but Steve, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. All right. That music means it's time to hit the top of the hour, 4 o'clock. News, Scott, followed by Scott Sherman. He's here to help you with your legal questions. You should know the numbers if you paid attention. We'll give them to you after the news. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
K-9-5. catch the Memphis Grizzlies Friday at 5:30 as they take on the Detroit Pistons.
590 KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Tom Roberts. Democratic House managers are well into their second day of making the case that President Trump should be removed from office as the Senate impeachment trial continues. New York Congressman Jerry Nadler says Trump put his personal and political interests ahead of U.S. national interests and betrayed his country.
He has placed them above our national security, above our free and fair elections, and above our...